Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And I just heard that story there with Michael Calhoun about the one protester out at Florissant tonight in front of the Florissant Police Department. Accidentally shot himself in the foot. Police say the man had been known to be at the protest in front of the police headquarters. He was seen carrying a rifle, and he shot himself in the foot. I gotta say, this guy is an absolute moron, a complete moron. So you're walking around with a rifle with the safety off, and you accidentally shoot yourself in the foot. Imagine if he had that rifle up and it accidentally discharged at a police officer. What do you think would have happened tonight in Florissant? You got to be kidding me with this. What a moron. So he's lucky he only shot himself in the foot. Learn how to use a firearm, dude. So that is, I read things like this during these protests when some of these people that are doing things like this. And I got to say, what are you thinking? All right. 314-436-7900. That's the number. Let's go to Bob, who's holding on. Hi, Bob. What's going on?
Well, it's been working, heading on home. Now I'm listening to you, and they keep talking about the all these people shooting themselves or loitering and all that stuff. Why don't you just take a hose to them? Hose
what,
them down or something.
You know, I don't think a hose is that effective. Because, number one...
Have they ever tried it?
Well, yes. And keep in mind, we're talking back in the 60s, it wasn't really... I think people... It brings back memories of times where it was used by police on African-Americans, you know, during... when tensions were really high. And that's what you want to avoid. I mean, even the appearance of doing something like that today would be extremely damaging for any police department. So, no, I don't think you could use a hose, per se. I mean, there's other means to break up violence and destruction, things like that. You see a lot of times pepper spray or whatever type of chemical irritant is used to disperse a crowd when it becomes unruly or violent. Those seem to be pretty effective.
But hitting them with water would be a lot more simpler than taking the pepper spray and the whatever else they use.
What's that? Say that again. It would you say that again?
If you use the water on them, wouldn't it kind of make it a lot more safer instead of like shooting at them or something like that or taking the...
In terms of nonviolent ways to crowd control, I don't know. I'm sure there's a story behind why they don't do that. I'm guessing accessibility is one of it. But the other thing is it's just the memories that are brought back doing something like that. You'd do more harm than good to a police department's reputation. So they got to look at other methods. And that's got to be a consideration in today's world. I'm going to guess that's a big part of it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Here's the number here. It's 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And text message, police in riot gear at Florissant PD with protesters. I'm wondering if the helicopters are out for something like this. I know we have listeners in Florissant right now. You're probably, some of them may be even close enough within earshot of being able to hear what would be going down at the police department. I don't mean that's not wasn't meant to be a pun, but maybe a poor choice of words. But yeah, they can probably hear from their house if there's helicopters or maybe chanting or if it's loud over at the Florissant Police Department. But they have had a lot of people there. And let's go to, let's see, what do we got here? Dan, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. I got a couple questions for you. You know, they were wanting to take off cops and this live PD on the thing because they're saying it's being racist and that stuff. And one of my favorite shows that I watch is The First 48. Have you ever watched that?
No, I have not. What network is that on?
It's a great show. It's on. It's about these cops that go out all over the United States and that stuff and catch these people that kill each other. And 99.9% of them is all black, killing black. So I think that's the only reason why they have not tried to protest this show to get off the air, number one. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up, you know, the idiot that shot himself in the foot, you know, what would have happened if the cops would have said, well, you know what, you're going to have to bleed, and if you bleed to death, that's fine and dandy because you're protesting against us. And then when something happens to you or anybody else, they want the first people they call is the police to come and help them. And, you know, it's just mind-boggling to me on how these people can protest, you know, say a white cop kills a black cop, but it's okay for black killing black and that stuff. I mean, I just don't understand why they don't protest that because they say Black Lives Matter. It must not only because if it's a white person killing a black, because if it's black on black, there's no problems whatsoever.
Okay. Well, Dan, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate that. And that was a point that they're making all across the country, including in Chicago, where over the weekend, what was the number? 100 people were shot. 100 people were shot in Chicago, including the death of, I believe, a 3-year-old boy. It's just pretty terrible. No, shooting doesn't rest. I mean, we get a lot of shots fired here in the city of St. Louis. We have kids, kids meaning under the age of 18. We have teenagers that are getting shot and killed. We have issues in the city of St. Louis. And by the way, our murder rate is up from last year. We had a bad last year when it came to violence, and it's up. We also had an instance over in, was it St. John's, the Applebee's there, where a person goes on and you also have a firefighter in critical condition, a young firefighter that was shot at this restaurant. And that person, luckily, the shooting suspect, there is one person in custody charged with one count of murder, 2 counts of assault, and 3 counts of armed criminal action. Here's the part that we lose sight of. We have protest in Florissant, and people are upset with the one officer that's been fired. And by the way, that officer has been charged. But it doesn't mean everything else is just off the table in the city of St. Louis. There are so many other violent acts that continue day in and day out. You can't take your eye off of that, and you can't take your eye off of the bigger problems that we're having right now. The big problem being that we're trending up in the murder rate in St. Louis, and we already have an extremely high murder rate. We're not going down. We're in the wrong direction. And maybe part of the bigger problem that we're finding is that people don't seem to be paying attention or caring about that at all, at all. And sadly enough, people are saying that, well, we need to probably lessen the role of police or defund and all of that in the middle of all of this. 314-436-7900. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Welcome back. So I want to talk about a few different things, and this is the big story that most people have been talking about online, and it has to do with the NASCAR racer Bubba Wallace. Over the weekend, there were reports that Bubba Wallace, predominantly, it may be, I think he's the only African-American driver in the NASCAR circuit. So I know they have certain racers that are able to, you know, mitigate their way up and get in some races and some come down. I mean, it's the qualify or whatever it is. I'm not a big racing fan, so I don't know exactly the full procedure, but he's someone that, for the most part, is in the big leagues, per se, when it comes to NASCAR racing. He makes the races. And on Saturday, there was a report that inside of his garage, they found a noose. Now, keep in mind, this comes after some other things that were happening in NASCAR. They decided that no longer they were going to allow the Confederate flag or anything like that inside of the races. And after all of this happened, and knowing everything else that's going on in the country today, you hear a story like this, and immediately everyone came to the defense of Bubba Wallace, just talking about how despicable it would be if someone actually did this. On Saturday during the race, you may have seen the video of it, all the racers walked around him as he drove a lap around, or at least drove some of the raceway, the track, to show support of Bubba Wallace. There's many things they could do to show support. It was interesting to see that because immediately they rallied behind him, which, by the way, I don't know if there's too many people, if any, in the entire United States that would try to justify an act like that. They looked at it, and no one was, by any means, anything less than sympathetic to someone trying to do that to anyone, really. But then again, there were a lot of skeptics immediately, and you started to hear people say, you understand, no one's done anything like this in like 30 years or 40 years, and anytime we've ever seen anything like this, it's always been a hoax. Just go back and you can look one after another. And people went absolutely crazy that anyone would try to question what was going on inside of NASCAR in that garage. Well, the FBI got involved. They wanted to find who was responsible for this. And as you can imagine, if you haven't heard by now, NASCAR said no, not a noose. So the rope found in the garage stall of the driver, Bubba Wallace, on a race over the weekend was a garage door pull. So it was the rope that you would manually open and close a garage door. We're so used to in our driveways, we press a button, the garage door motor activates, the chain starts moving, and then it pulls or closes the garage door. But now a lot of places that have the big, giant garage doors, you do it by hand, you know, if you don't have the motor. So you open it up, you close it. But because you open up a garage door, you can't just, like, reach up to the top of some of these garage bays. There's got to be a rope to it that you can pull it down so when you're ready to close the garage. So I don't know how you mistake the pull-down rope as some sort of noose that would be used as a hate crime, but federal authorities came in and they immediately realized, no, that's not it. So they did questioning. They talked to different people. They launched the investigation. They got the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division involved. And looking at AL.com for Alabama, town and FBI special agent in charge, Johnny Sharp Jr. on Tuesday released the statement. It said, on Monday, 15 FBI special agents conducted numerous interviews regarding the situation at Talladega Superspeedway. After a thorough review of the facts and evidence surrounding this event, we have concluded that no federal crime was committed. So some videos started showing up, and they said, oh, that's kind of interesting because the racers are assigned certain garage bays, and he just so happened to have this one bay. So they went back into the archives, and they said, okay, let's try to find pictures of that bay. And sure enough, you can clearly see that this handle for the garage door has been there since, what, at least October 2019, at least. And we also find out that, in general, Bubba Wallace apparently did not see this directly. It was one of the crew members or someone that raised the red flag on this. So it wasn't a direct witness to this piece of rope, okay? NASCAR released a statement. It said the FBI has completed its investigation at Talladega Superspeedway and determined that Bubba Wallace was not the victim of a hate crime. The FBI report concludes and photographic evidence confirms that the garage door pull rope fashioned like a noose has been positioned there since at least early last fall. This was obviously well before the 43 team's arrival and garage assignments. We appreciate the FBI's quick and thorough investigation. So what do you chalk this up to? I mean, what do you chalk an instance like this up to? Because this is what happened over the weekend. Everyone said, look at all of these racist NASCAR fans. Oh, of course it would be in NASCAR that something like this would happen to. I've even seen people online. They're like, what do all these rednecks think about? They must hate that they're all supporting Bubba Wallace right now. All of these racers, all these rednecks, it has to kill them inside that they have to come to the support of Bubba Wallace. You know, all these people were saying extremely hateful things that ended up being 100% unwarranted, untrue in the way that they brought it up, including Bubba Wallace himself. He made an appearance on The View today. And here's maybe part of the lessons we need to learn from this whole Bubba Wallace thing. Maybe part of the lessons we learn is that, man, we all fall for this. We all jump to conclusions before the evidence is there. And we all try to push something that may be closer to a narrative of what you want to believe as opposed to what the truth of the matter is. And it's not just something that one party or one ideology or one mindset has a monopoly on. It happens to the best of us where we jump to these conclusions. But my goodness, when you go out on the limb and you try to paint a picture of everyone as racist all the time, no wonder things like this would start to happen. And no wonder national news would try to make this into one of the biggest stories of a hate crime that we've seen on a professional athlete. And no wonder we just continue to fuel this fire over and over again. You know, the MSNBCs and the CNNs of the world, they don't care if it's true or not. It's just good television for them while it lasts. They want to ride it. Like, listen to how The View set up this interview with Bubba Wallace. Let me play this from earlier today.
People are suggesting that this is a hoax or perhaps even staged by NASCAR to garner more support for the removal of the Confederate flag. But my understanding is that the only people who have access to the area where the noose was found are the racing teams and perhaps a few essential workers. So what would you say to those people who are doubting that this even happened or that it's true?
Yeah, just like Steve Phelps said, it offends me that people would go to those measures. But again, I'm not shocked. People are entitled to their own opinion to make them feel good, whatever, make them help them sleep at night.
All right, so I'm going to play a little bit more to this. So, you know, even Bubba Wallace, by the way, gets into it on top of it. And keep in mind, I don't think it was a hoax would try to indicate that this was purposely done, right? There was some sort of intention to try to create this a spectacle, which is not the case. It's not a hoax. However, it is not a hate crime. So the people this weekend that were pointing out the fact that this is just, this doesn't add up. This doesn't look right. This is probably, there's probably another explanation to it. The ones that were shouted and tried to use a little bit of logic into this and said, all right, well, they can look into it, but this doesn't look like it's your typical hate crime. They get mocked. And on top of this, even Bubba Wallace comes in and gets a national platform in order to jump to the same conclusion.
But it is still an ongoing investigation with the FBI. I can now say I've talked to the FBI. Never thought that would happen. But It's just unfortunate circumstances and in a terrible time that we're in right now. Year 2020 will be one year to for sure forget.
Let me just stop right there. I wanted to read one tweet, and I think this is a great tweet to read. And you know, we could take some of your calls on this if you're a NASCAR fan. I know that there's a lot of racing fans that do listen to the program, including I just got a text message that said, it is difficult to believe anyone could mistake a garage door pull down for a noose, especially when similar pull downs in other garages. So if you're in the world of racing, this can't be the first time you've seen a garage door pull down. My goodness, right? This can't be the first time you've seen that. And then again, that's pretty common for a rope to be on a garage door pull down, fashioned into a handle. So let me read this tweet from Kenny Wallace, who put out a quote. Okay, Kenny Wallace, love Kenny Wallace. He's a great guy. KMOX listener, Cardinals fan, St. Louis guy. You know, this is what he said. Everyone has been so tense and uptight over the last 3 months. This misunderstanding will bring out the critics, and rightfully so. We must stop with all the drama. Lessons have been learned. It's time to move forward and give everyone a break. I think there's a lot of wisdom in there. We must stop with all this drama, okay? Drama maybe leading up to finding out that this wasn't a hoax, and then the drama after when it's not a hoax. And lessons have been learned. It's time to move forward and give everyone a break. I think what we have to do when we see instances like this, realize that there might be another explanation to it, period. And as opposed to trying to paint everyone that disagrees with you as being a instant racist, kind of like instant everything, you know, we're in an instant society. Maybe you calm down a minute before that happens. 314-436-7900. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
You know, I was going to talk some Jimmy Kimmel. Maybe I'll save that for later because I feel like this might be the best time to bring up spiders. And there's a story at KMOX.com. Peak spider season is here. There's something else, an observation, and I'm wondering a few things of any homeowners or renters or whatever it is. Have you noticed any uptick in spiders or anything like that in your house or around the property? But there's one thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if it's just people we know. Have you noticed an uptick of dead birds on your property? It's a weird question, isn't it? I really don't know if it's just a coincidence that friends that we have here have also found dead birds on their property. I know one got caught by one of the neighbor's cats, and I went outside, and there's the thing. It looked like someone tried to eat the bird, and kind of gross, you know, you shovel it into the trash can, and you try not to look at it too much. It's one of those things. But then, a friend of the family, my wife is friends with the other mom, and, you know, the kids play with each other, things like that, ride bikes or do stuff like that, you know, play dates. And they were talking about how they found a dead bird on their property, too. I walked the dog, and I walk around, and I see, oh, that's weird. There's a dead bird on this person's house. Oh, there's another dead bird. Where'd all these dead birds come from? I mean, is anyone else noticing this right now, honestly? Or am I just going crazy, and this is really not a thing? I'm serious. 314-436-7900. That's the number you can call or text. Or 800-925-1120. Is there anyone else that has noticed a bunch of dead birds on your property as of late? So let me go back to the spider story. The peak spider season is here. Be aware of the deadly recluse in Michigan, or in Missouri, excuse me, the brown recluse. Yeah. It's getting hot here in St. Louis, which means that spiders are trying to find ways into homes. That's basically what happens when it gets hotter. And I hate this idea of thinking that there's spiders trying to get into my home. Don't like it one bit. Makes me want to go out and just spray and do some border defense, but I don't know if spiders this size even care. So these spiders are pretty big. It says exclusion from accessing your home is the best way to control the pets. Reduce some of the leaf clutter or dense grass, whatever, things like that. Overhanging tree limbs, vents, make sure have screens, things that they would normally find ways into the house. That's the last thing you want to do. Have to go do some work in your attic. You open it up, and there's a bunch of spiders all over the place. They're usually a light tan to gray color with a violin shape on their back. They have eight legs and look hairless. I'm looking at a picture of these things, and it makes me itchy. I don't want to see it. I want. It's like out of sight, out of mind, man. What are some symptoms of a brown recluse bite? According to Mercy.net, brown recluse spider bites don't always hurt right away. In fact, you may not even know you have one. It says redness of skin that may follow into a blister, mild to intense pain and itching for 2 to 8 hours following the bite. That sounds terrible. An open ulcer sore and a breakdown of tissue that develops a week or more after. Some people have severe body reactions, including rapid destruction of their red blood cells. Also, fever and chills, skin rash, and nausea, or vomiting, joint pain, tiny flat purple and red spots on your body. This sounds absolutely terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Don't want any of that. So check your office. Here's another thing they said. Hey, everyone's out of the office. One day you're going to be back and you're going to open up your top drawer and where you used to keep your Pop-Tarts. Now there's spiders. Ah! We need send the interns in there. Hey, check all the desks to make sure there's no spiders hiding. Okay, so check your office desk when returning to work. They say if it sat empty for months, who knows what may have moved in. Hate it. 314-436-7900. Let's go to Paul, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Yes, thanks. I used to have a cat, many years ago. And the cat used to bring me dead birds to my front door.
Oh,
and
man.
Just like would just present them to me and said, you know, the cat was like, this is my gift to you. And it's like, Well, thanks.
Yeah, no thanks. Here, I got something. It's very thoughtful of you. Yeah. Well, I wonder if there's just maybe an uptick of stray cats in a lot of neighborhoods right now. Maybe that's the reason for it. And they're on the prowl.
I think there are stray cats.
Probably an uptick? You think there's more stray cats than usual right now?
I think so.
Yeah. What do deer mostly eat? Do they mostly eat, like, vegetation, or could they also be catching birds? Would that be something?
Well, it was a cat I was feeding. But, you know, the cat would just come to the door and say, look, I brought you a present. And it was like a dead bird that had tortured death.
Oh, gross. And then do you let the cat inside the house?
The cat I had was never inside the house.
Okay.
It was always an outside cat.
Very good, Paul. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, that's something else that concerns me is every time an animal gets into something outside, they come in and then lick you on the face. Oh, look, it loves me. Oh, little doggy loves me. Little kitty loves me. And knowing where that tongue has been, ugh. No, I would... Wouldn't that be one of the craziest things you've ever seen? Imagine you got stray deer in the neighborhood. Because, you know, every once in a while, we'll see a stray deer go by the house and our doorbell will pick it up. Could you imagine a deer hopping up in the sky and catching a bird mid-flight? Leaving one of those on your front lawn. Oh, they're just majestic. 314-436-7900. I wonder, is there an uptick of dead birds in your neighborhood? Seriously, I would like to find out. Maybe it's just me. Maybe this is just one of my weird observations. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Overnight America is live with you, and I'm looking at some text messages that came in, and two things. One, yes, we found a beautiful dead baby bluebird in our backyard, probably the influx of 5G. A lot of people buy into that, but really it's more or less there's no indication that 5G would do any of that. The science isn't there to indicate that's the case, but there's a lot of people that like to talk about that online. Here's another story that was messaged to me from Fox 6, and I'm not exactly sure what city Fox 6 is in, but it was a story from March of this year. More than 1,000 dead birds littered the ground of Sikeston, Missouri, after officials said they got caught up in a storm and fell to the earth. 1,000 birds fell. So could it be possible birds are getting caught up in these storms that we've had and just falling across the area? Maybe. I don't know. I'm wondering if anyone else has had any issues with dead birds on their property or if it's just bad luck on my part. 314-436-7900. I do believe that the dead birds are actually probably just the neighbor's cat getting into things and leaving it close to the property lines, you know, is kind of in between the two houses, so you got to take care of it. But then again, I don't want a bunch of dead birds hanging around the house, so you got to take care of it. Here's another story that CBS is reporting, and this is kind of interesting. You know how much money Amazon is making? A ton of money off of you right now. You may actually be on Amazon as we speak. They've been monitoring what the company has been making since this coronavirus hit. They're making roughly, are you ready? $10,000 a second. Wow. That's a lot. An awful lot. How'd you like to be in that situation for a couple minutes? Oh, here's another text message that came in. Happens all the time. Google, dead birds falling from sky, hundreds of stories. That sounds like the absolute worst case scenario. I don't want to be caught in a dead bird storm. It's bad enough that we have to worry about things such as sharknadoes. Now we have to worry about dead bird storms. Now, it's bad enough also you get caught in. You ever had a bird drop one on you, a little bird dropping? Pop. That's pretty bad, right? You don't like that. No one likes that. They reach up. Ugh, what is this? Ugh, gross. Got to go take a shower now. Feel dirty. How'd you like to be stuck in the middle of a bunch of birds falling all over you? Just terrible. Here's another story from CBS News. Tina Fey is requesting that 30 Rock episodes with blackface be removed from streaming platforms. The interesting thing about this is one of the characters that have been highlighted in one of the old 30 Rock episodes is St. Louis native John Hamm. He played a character, if I remember correctly, they were doing a skit where they were going back into like the archives, and it was an old like Amos and Andy skit, and it was like the, you know, the fictional version of that they were going to use for this 30 Rock program. And it like showed, and they went back in time and showed this sort of thing, and he was one of the characters. So it wasn't necessarily blackface in the way that you would think of, like Jimmy Kimmel or Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia, but it was more or less like it looked like someone just got dirty working, so they had smudges on their face. Tina Fey said that she's asked streaming platforms to remove episodes of 30 Rock that include blackface, and her request is being honored. It looks like by the end of the week, they're going to be removed from Hulu and Amazon Prime, no longer for purchase on iTunes and Google Plus. The change comes after a lot of what's been going on lately, and Jimmy Kimmel certainly has a portion to play into that, which he responded, by the way. Jimmy Kimmel has responded to all of the people that have criticized him for the things that have been dug up from his past. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit after midnight, because mostly speaking, I think that his response is not that good. So ultimately he says, no, it's not me, it's you. You're the racist. So not a great approach to it. 30 Rock aired between 2006 and 2013. It was on the air that long? I had no idea it was on the air that long. It was a very popular show, a very funny show. So the historically racist blackface makeup was worn by one of the main characters by the name of Jenna in two episodes. And notice that these episodes were removed at least a week ago. Two additional episodes will be removed. John Hamm and blackface no longer available. And what was the other one? Was it Tracy Morgan, one of the main actors on the show, too, had whiteface on? So I think they were talking about removing that one, too, just in general, changing the color of your skin for a skit or whatever it may be. But, you know, they talked about Gone with the Wind, HBO Max removed that. And you go back into the whole Jimmy Kimmel thing. Maybe I should catch you up with what happened with Jimmy Kimmel if you haven't seen it, because I do want to bring you the response after we get back from the news and the break. So Jimmy Kimmel's a comedian. He was a radio show host for a while. At least he was a co-host on a very popular show in Los Angeles called The Kevin and Bean Show. They were around for a long time, just as of this year, disbanded. So Jimmy Kimmel got his start on that. Him and Adam Carolla had The Man Show on Comedy Central. Jimmy Kimmel as an actor and a comedian was on other shows on Comedy Central for a little bit. Then eventually, through specials and whatnot, found his way over to ABC and started hosting a late-night talk show, much in the same vein as a Letterman and Leno at the time. Well, the interesting thing is the different bits he's done in the past have come back to haunt him on The Man Show on Comedy Central. Some of his comedy included some pretty crude things, including him dressing up in blackface multiple times. Not only is Carl Malone, I think he also played in Oprah, where he darkened his skin. You can see these things online. And, you know, you can go back and look at this and say, maybe in today's context, you wouldn't get away with that anymore. But it was more of a thing, a capsule of the time period and what was comedy, and especially cable comedy at the time. Sure, you might be able to play that off. There's videos of him laughing at sexual assaults. Well, you know, maybe not sexual assaults, just being inappropriate with minors. So the one story that came out was him laughing at Megan Fox, who told a story about when she was 15, she was on the set of a movie, Bad Boys 2, and there was like a pool scene, and the director wanted to get her drinking. So someone said, no, she's 15, you can't get her drinking. So he said, oh, I got an idea. We'll just put her under this waterfall and have her, you know, look all sexy under the waterfall. So she's telling this story, and Jimmy Kimmel's laughing it up. And I'm thinking to myself, man, she just said she was 15, and they took advantage of her this way. They, in a way meant to be sexual. That's a little creepy, right? Well, no. So there's little things that they start to point out, but the thing that really got people upset, and the thing that you can go and find online right now, there was a CD that Kevin and Bean put out in the 90s, and Jimmy Kimmel, being the comedic writer, I think wrote most of the original songs on this CD. There were some things that were not original to them, like, for example, they had the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song on there, so obviously Jimmy Kimmel not part of that. But he did this one song where he is impersonating Snoop Dogg, and he says the N-word in there a lot of times. So he writes the song, produces, and performs the song. And there's some really crude things in there, including the N-word, over and over and over and over again. So here's the point of all of this. And, you know, I hate to set all this stuff up before we get to the news, because I do want to read the apology after the break. But he then attacks the critics of him, calling them the racists, and goes back and tries to say, hey, no, it's actually you that's the problem. Kind of sad when he goes back and criticizes the critics and saying that they are the actual racist. James Woods, by the way, had a pretty good comeback to that. But let me point this out, okay? If we're talking about double standards, I think this is a big part of the discussion anymore. Keep in mind, ABC and Disney, one and the same, you know, same company. We saw the way that they treated Roseanne Barr, who put a tweet out and said something, a racial something online to Valerie Jarrett, I believe it was, and she got fired immediately. It took less than, 24 hours? She was out, and she had the number one TV show at the time doing this sort of thing. This is something that ABC hasn't really addressed or offered any discipline to, okay, which is an interesting double standard. But keep in mind, too, I think this brings up another big question that we're going to see in Hollywood here pretty soon. Kevin Hart was tapped to host the Oscars. It was something that was his biggest dream ever since he wanted to become an entertainer. His biggest dream was to host the Oscars. So someone goes back into his Twitter and they find one joke that he made that joked about his kid playing with dollhouses, and no kid of mine is going to be playing with dollhouses. They cut him from the Oscars and tried to cancel him for that one joke tweet. And all of these things that they're bringing out about Jimmy Kimmel somehow gets a pass? What, are you kidding me? We're going to talk more about this coming up on Overnight America.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.